Beautiful, wasn't it? It's one of those you want to just say, fill your spirit with that music. Today, as you leave, the deacons will have little cards that list the rest of the month's activities here at UCC, the times and the places and things that are happening. And I hope you'll take those home and then share them with people and invite folks to the music next week, to the children's tableau the following week. Come to the deacon's party. It's a great season to enjoy here at church. So the tradition of kissing under the mistletoe actually has a very interesting lore behind it. In medieval days, it's told that when knights were on horses and they were approaching an enemy, they began to draw their sword and prepare for battle. And the two or more knights sitting on their horses would start riding toward one another with their swords drawn to slice into or pierce their enemy. And so their struggle began. But if during one of those encounters they looked up and saw mistletoe hanging in a tree above them in the forest, they had to stop the battle and give each other an embrace of peace. In fact, if a knight was actually sitting under a tree with mistletoe in it, he could not even shoot an arrow from that place. Now, this is the lore behind our modern tradition of embracing under the mistletoe. And even today, chance encounters under mistletoe bring an embrace or a kiss. Our single daughter, who's 29, wishes she was carrying mistletoe with her all year long, I think. She won't appreciate that joke if she hears it when she listens online. Sorry, Aaron. Today is Peace Sunday, as you've heard. It's the second Sunday in Advent each year. And this year, it seems to me to be more poignant and significant. With the shooting in San Bernardino and the world's focus on terrorism, peace seems even more elusive than ever. Now, the word peace occurs in our Bible many times, and it means a variety of things, by the way. It refers to rest, that Sunday afternoon activity. My colleague calls it a holy, sacred nap. It refers to ease, to security within the love of a family or friends. It also refers in the Bible to completeness, to shalom, quietness, and unity. We can hold our peace, we can make peace, we can follow the way of peace. So peace is something that one can give or take away. And although this peace that the Bible speaks about is somewhat ambiguous, it's very important in Scripture. It occurs 325 times in our Bible. Our traditional word for today from Isaiah shows us a beautiful picture of the peaceable kingdom. And the text lifts up motifs from other cultures and shows us the universal nature of what peace can be. It tells us that natural rivalries are gone, that predators no longer feel the need to pursue their prey, and that natural enemies live together in peace. It's printed in your bulletin, and I know our time is short, but it's too beautiful not to read. A shoot shall come out of the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of God. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. This is fear as in awe struck. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall lie down with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the otter's den. They will not destroy or hurt for all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And on that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. Madeline L'Engle wrote this about the subject of peace. It's also in your bulletin as our contemporary word today. She says, peace is the center of the atom, the core of quiet within the storm. It is not a cessation or nothingness. More the lightning in reverse is what reveals the light. It is the law that binds the atom's structure, ordering the dance of protons and electrons that finds within the midst of flame and wind the glance in the still eye of the vast hurricane. Peace is not placidity. Peace is the power to endure the megaton of pain with joy. The silent thunder of release, the ordering of love. Peace is the atom's heart, start, the primal image, God within the heart. Now, we may be so removed and perhaps passive about our involvement in the conflicts and wars and skirmishes around our globe, because we ask, what can we possibly do? It really doesn't impact our daily lives, except when we watch the news 24/7. And can we truly relate to the suffering of the Syrian refugees or the reality of these terrorist groups? We can trick ourselves into believing we're really not at war. But if we listen to the texts from today, we learn that peace is not just an absence. And then what do we do in Wichita, Kansas, to find peace? Well, there's a story of a young girl who was working very diligently, bent over the table, doing her homework, that her father became curious and he asked her what she was doing. Well, she said, I'm writing a report on the condition of the world and how to bring the world peace. Her dad stopped and looked at her and said, well, okay, isn't that a pretty tall order for a 3-page research paper from a young girl? Oh, no, she said, don't worry at all. There are 3 of us working on a group assignment. Several ministers that I'm friends with got together this week, and we were talking about what we were going to do for Peace Sunday. And we started visiting about our sermon ideas on peace. Well, one of the ministers is a father of a young child, and we were describing peace and what it was to us personally, and he said, peace is defined as when my newborn child sleeps. He wasn't being funny. He admitted that those moments are very infrequent, and that anyone who has been around a baby for a while will agree that a sleeping baby is a very welcome, peaceful sight. But there's more to it than just the absence of noise. There's a greater thing that children teach us about peace. When we hold a child in our arms, there's an even greater peace. It's drawn from the touch, from the experience of watching that child grow, from the awe of seeing a human life that is so vulnerable, so real. and from the loving embrace that we can share. That's what peace is about. Not merely the absence of something, but the sharing of peace. Like hope, which we talked about last week, peace isn't the absence of something. Rather, it's a tangible, active process that brings wholeness and harmony and integrity and well-being. Mother Teresa of Calcutta actually received the Nobel Peace Prize in 1979. And believe it or not, from our historical perspective, it seems totally logical that she would receive this prize. But in 1979, there were people who were unhappy that the Peace Prize went to her. Why? Well, she wasn't a notable political figure or a religious leader, and they demanded to know, what did she do that was so deserving of the world's most coveted award for peacemaking? She wasn't a peace activist, but she was like Saint Francis of Assisi, after whom she patterned her life, simply a person devoting her life wholeheartedly to the service of the poor. And that meant educating children and washing putrid sores from leprosy and caring for people that were shunned by society, taking in street urchins, giving medication to those suffering with tuberculosis, and in some, loving the unwanted, unloved, and abandoned. What better example of a peace-loving person? And this is what Mother Teresa said of her work as a peacemaker. I never look at the masses as my responsibility. I look only at the individual. I can only love one person at a time. I can only feed one person at a time. Just one. One. You get yourself closer to Christ by becoming closer to one another. As Jesus said, whatever you do to the least of these, my brethren, you do to me. And she continued, so you begin. I begin. I picked one person. Well, maybe if I didn't pick that one person, I wouldn't have picked all the others. The whole work is only a drop in the ocean. But if we don't put the drop in the ocean would be one drop less. Same thing for you. Same thing for your family. Same thing for the church where you go. Just begin with peace. One. 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 Against Mother Teresa's critics, I would like to suggest that she was putting her finger right on the very issue that prevents us from doing ourselves the things that make for peace. What happens to her critics and to us way too often is that we focus on the issue in microcosm, and we throw up our hands in despair. But Mother Teresa threw herself into the task of microcosm, where she was in touch with the problem and trusted God to use her and her efforts one person at a time. She didn't let the apparent insignificance of what she was doing overwhelm her and make her useless. So if we discover this deep down security of God's love, of God's shalom, as Teresa did, it would direct us to take small acts toward peace. After all, most of us won't be Jimmy Carters or UN ambassadors shuttling back and forth to hotspots that threaten the world's security. But we do have daily opportunities to do Teresa-sized things that are beautiful for God. You've heard it said that peace begins at home, and it begins with each person finding that inner sense of peace and sharing it with those at home. Sometimes that is the most difficult work of peace to do, with the person across the pillow. It's true, peace begins at home. And the fact that inner and family peace is the starting place is not a total picture of what the biblical text says about peace. Because from our own soul's peace, we discern the need for others to have peace. As Christians, we're called to be agents of peace in the world. So can we have an impact on the San Bernardino shooting? Yes. We cannot change that it happened, but we can advocate for more peaceable laws, one letter, one call to a congressperson at a time. Can we have an impact on the war on terrorism? Yes. We cannot stop what terrorists are doing, but we can engage in support for those who have been impacted, for policies that make terrorism less attractive to young people. What I'm suggesting on this Peace Sunday is that we become like Teresa, agents of peace and love, one person, one place, one letter, one word at a time. I thank God for the vision of peace in our world. Amen. Our choral benediction is listed in your bulletin, and you're invited as you are able to stand and let's sing together.